The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Be a part of the coolest community of wrestling chatter on the internet. Again, the thing that we really, really want to stress about this is that our Discord, available 24/7, whenever you want to talk about anything wrestling related, is for patrons only. Now, I know it kind of sucks to put a paywall on something, but I think as wrestling fans, we can all agree that one of the most annoying things when you are looking to talk about wrestling online is, well, dealing with other people who want to talk about wrestling online. It's just a bunch of yelling, shouting, I don't know if anybody else agrees with this, but meh, whatever shit posts on Reddit. On our Discord, the 1-900 Wrestling Discord, it is just people who actually want to talk about the stuff that's happening. It's fun. It's a community. It's something that I think we are all proud of, and we would love for you to be a part of. Head on over to patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody but nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number, 1-900.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory. What's up?
So, dude? What's going on, man? Good to do a show a little early, but
I know. Yeah, we're doing it a little early. I got an appointment thing that I got to do a little bit later today, so. We're still on Monday, but we are doing the dreaded back end of a back end of one of those shows where we have a week where we have to bump to after Raw and SmackDown, and then we do our show on our normal slot before Raw and SmackDown. So we have to we are on the dark side of the moon.
There was only four days of real wrestling.
There were 4 days, and they were not the 2 days when wrestling news happens because the WWE runs shows on that day. So we are going to do our best to bring to you the best possible program we can, as we always do. And I dare say, believe we will succeed. Let's start off with a little breaking news. Ivory, name for the WWE Hall of Fame on WrestleMania weekend. Of course, was she Tina Ferrari? On Glow? Was that her Glow name? Do you know that offhand?
No. I never actually watched the original Glow, so.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, she was Tina Ferrari, but also Ivory, of course, in the WWE. She's one of those. How much have you gone back and, like, just watched old Raws or pay-per-views, and you immediately, specifically with the women, you kind of realize, all right, those women know what the hell they're doing. And these women were fitness models who learned how to take bumps five minutes ago.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a lot less of a separation nowadays.
Yeah,
there are still the women who are clearly models that they're turning into wrestlers, right? Lana would be like probably the biggest current version of that.
Yeah,
but even in her case, like it seems like they're giving them a little more focus on. Oh, you should actually know how to do some stuff, some actual stuff, right? There was a time where they were like, as long as you can, you know, do a slap cat fight type of thing in lingerie, like you're probably good to go.
Well, because that was always where they would go, right? Is that at a certain point it's like, all right, well, you don't need to, you know, this doesn't need to be Savage Steamboat for you to end up in a bowl of pudding with your underwear soaked through, right?
Yeah, we don't need any diving headbutts. We don't need a chain wrestling. Like, that's fine. You'll come out. You'll do your short segment, and that's good. But then there were some real wrestlers. So, there was like a huge dichotomy. Like the difference was night and day, right? And now, I think the difference is getting a lot smaller now.
Have you noticed that that WWE in general has not really? They haven't really kind of pumped up the fact that Glow is a gigantic phenomenon. Like, they haven't really done... I mean, Naomi had her gimmick around the time that was in production or coming out. But it's it's been kind of weird that they haven't, like, even when, like, Allison Brie and stuff like that have, like, been at LA shows, they haven't gone full on, like, showing them in the crowd and being like, isn't it exciting that professional wrestling is part of the mainstream?
Yeah. I mean, but it's not. WWE is still very much focused on their own product, right? And it was never their product. So.
Yeah. But it's not like they don't. They are the thirstiest organization for any kind of fame, though, right? Like, as soon as anybody says in any kind of, you know, if you are famous, right? Let's say if you are the second lead, you're one of the kid actors in Jumanji, right? Which just hit like $300 million. And obviously that has The Rock in it, right? But like, if you're like, oh, I like John Cena when I was a kid, the WWE will trample over themselves to give you every piece of John Cena merchandise and invite you to a show. Like, just because they are so thirsty for any kind of mainstream recognition at all. And I don't know. It kind of feels like they have.
Okay, yes, but yes and.
Yes.
Netflix doesn't necessarily count in maybe Vince's eyes, right?
So. That's actually a great.
It's not like they're on network TV with
this. No,
show.
You're right. He's like, you know, it's not on. Who cares, pal? It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a lot of times where it's changing. This is obviously changing, right? Because we're seeing, I think one of the biggest examples was that movie Bright, where it's like, here's a Will Smith vehicle.
Yes.
Where is it? Is it going out in the theaters? No, it's coming out on Netflix. But I think we're still not quite at that point. And to be fair, they probably should start considering it pretty mainstream, considering their main platform at this point is an online streaming.
Is an
platform.
Online network, so, right? Yeah. And also they promote it as Netflix but better. Like, or at least they used to. So the theoretical, at some point somebody is aware of the idea. But I guess that's the thing, is like Glow probably brings you closer. If you are WWE is unquestionably the number one wrestling promotion, and this show about wrestling has become very popular, if not hip, right?
Yeah.
You would think that there would be some kind of you know, back and forth, right? There would be some kind of interplay. Oh, well.
There should be. No, I mean, there should be.
Maybe this is the entryway to that. You know, she gets introduced by Allison Brie or something like that at the Hall of Fame.
That'd be interesting. By the way, I don't know if we ever talked about Mount Fuji passed away.
Mount Fuji did, yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
One of the original.
There was actually, right when the show came out, there was also the documentary, right? Which had.
That was about a year before,
Around a pretty similar timeline, right? It was.
It was before. It was like a year or 2 years before.
But not like 10 years before.
It was No. I think it was the success of the documentary that kind of got the ball rolling.
Spurred
for
the,
Netflix.
Yeah.
That like, oh, okay.
But her story was a big deal in that she was, you know, she was in a wheelchair and she was definitely not doing so hot. It wasn't too long, but she was alive for the kind of resurgence, right? The repopularizing of what she had been a big part of. So that was kind of cool.
Absolutely.
One of those nice stories.
All right, let's get into some of hey, it looks like you just put here in the doc that there's some more other breaking news here.
It looks like Dolph Ziggler has re-signed with the WWE. So all the speculation about what the, you know, who's going to be the new hot indie superstar coming from WWE, it's not going to be Dolph Ziggler, apparently. And the details that I'm seeing, and this is all of this is basically hearsay. There's not like details of the contract being laid out.
Yeah.
But the word is that he was offered a lot of money.
Yep.
Enough money that he really couldn't rightfully turn it down. And also a little bit more freedom. So it doesn't sound like he's going to get a big push because of this contract, but he's going to get to do whatever he wants. And he's going to they're saying he'll do this, he'll do the job, but now he can go and leave right after his match and go do some TV shows and do any outside projects he wants. because apparently that was a problem for him too, was that WWE is also controlling schedule as well as not pushing him, right? So, and that's got to be frustrating, right? If you're Dolph Ziggler, like, look, it's fine, I get it, but damn, I can't do anything else either. Like, so I'm just stuck here.
Okay, so can we then have a funeral for the indie fan wank of Dolph
Ziggler? Dolph Ziggler, we don't ever get to have it, or not yet anyway.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Yeah. The white hot indie run that has been fantasy booked by nerds around the world for Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he would be. I mean, I'm thinking about it. It's like he would be great doing some Ring of Honor stuff. Obviously, lots of Cody matches could happen like right off the bat, and you could have like the battle for, you know, who reigns supreme as far as
how funny is that we're like pining, like, oh my god, if we could only see a match that would have been on Superstars two years ago.
But then, you know, then I see a pretty sweet feud with Jay White in New Japan. That could be pretty sweet. You know, Jay White's he's got a lot going on, but he's gonna
All right, he's
gonna need lots and lots of opponents at this point.
But let's understand the reality of what we're asking of Dolph Ziggler in this fantasy scenario that will now never happen. You don't necessarily just walk right into ROH or walk right into New Japan, right? Like, they have to understand that they have a place for you, they have an angle for you, and with ROH, as you've seen, that card doesn't really jostle a lot, right? Like, Cody coming in was probably the biggest change that they've had. By and large, and this is kind of almost a knock on ROH, you're still looking at the same guys on that card as there were 3 years ago and as there were 6 years ago and as there were 9 years ago. You know,
that is true, but there's also a lot of movement in the other direction right now too. So I don't know if we can necessarily say that's going to just stop anytime soon. I mean, spots are going to open up. It's a little more fluid, I think. So, I mean, and of course, there's also TNA. There's all the independents. Like, but yeah, I mean,
so I guess here's my larger point. The reality, if Dolph Ziggler walks out the door, the reality is not okay. And now I'm going to call up my new boss, and I'm going to get my new dates. And I'm going to show up to TV tapings for Ring of Honor, right?
It's completely different. Yeah.
Because the reality is the next day, he's putting up on Twitter a bookdolph@gmail.com email address. And he is now his own secretary to book his way throughout the country, which, you know, Cody did, right? Cody came out, did that exact same thing. And within a year and a half was like, no, ROH, let me just take a contract. let me just stay with you so I don't have to, you know, worry about collecting my $500 from every indie promotion on the planet.
Sure. But I mean, I don't know. Dolph Ziggler is a big enough name. I don't think it would be hard for him. It wouldn't be. And also, it wouldn't be. He's not the same as he's not, you know, vlogging his experience on YouTube a la Sammy Guevara. Because he's trying to, like, make ends meet as
a
wrestler.
No, it would be the same job functionally. The only difference would be maybe he would get a higher rate. Maybe he would hire somebody else to book him.
He has enough capital now. He's not living out of a van.
Yes, he's going to fly from a house as opposed to living in a van down by the river. But he's on the same.
Him.
He would be on the same cards as somebody like Sammy Guevara.
That, but it's still not the same. It's not the same. I've gone on tour with a van that's in a bus with a booking agent when I wasn't in a bus with a booking agent. And then I've gone on tour with the backing of a record label who bought us a van and a trailer and booked our entire show. And they are two completely different experiences.
I guess, and this might be my sense of it, and maybe we need to talk to people who actually know, right? But my sense is the life of Cody Rhodes when he was doing all that indie booking, and we would say that Dolph Ziggler would probably come in at about the same level at Cody, maybe even a little less then, right? Because Cody's got the name. If Dolph Ziggler went indie?
I mean, Dolph's held more world titles.
Certainly has. Certainly has.
I don't know if Dolph Ziggler comes in below Cody.
Well,
like,
then around the same area. I think we would agree that they would come in at about. I mean, he is a former world champion. That is true, but they would be around the same.
I think it's pretty comparable. Yeah. I think it's
around the same frequency.
Exactly the same, basically.
I don't think, based on what I've just picked up being a fan of the industry, that there's no central booking agency. There's no dedicated person who is booking all this stuff for these guys.
No, but you can have your own booking agent who makes the phone calls and everything for you. I mean, that's
sure.
The same as having a Hollywood agent. Like, there's people who just will do that. I had an agent as a band when I was 19 book stuff for me because that's people do that. That's a job. Like, then they don't have just you as a client. They have lots of people. He'd probably have his own person. Like, you just find somebody who just does the legwork for you. And I guarantee you, like, you can have that person if you want.
All right, I got to do some investigation into this. I want to know. All right, question. Does Joey Ryan have a booking agent?
I don't know.
Well, no. What would your guess be?
I would guess no, because he seems very hands-on about it, all this stuff. Like, you know, has run his own promotion and everything like that. So
who,
I guess he's the type of person who just does it on his own.
Who would we guess is an indie star that has a booking agent?
I would guess Cody Rhodes. I would guess Cody does.
So Cody, before he took the exclusive with Ring of Honor, and even now, I mean, I guess even now he would have one because
sure.
he does the outside of the country stuff, you know, when he's like, he can still wrestle in Canada and everything.
Sure. I would guess that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega have somebody who handles all that stuff for them so they can shoot Being the Elite videos and
do
all their outside stuff that they do.
Now we are gonna Dills. I am now going to be on an investigation. I'm going to send emails. I want to find out how prevalent booking agents are in indie wrestling because I genuinely don't know, and I'm curious.
I don't know either, but it would seem weird to me that somehow this is the one industry where people just don't use them.
I mean, but also, would it surprise you? Like, this is such a weird backwards industry. It's such a weird kind of carny industry.
It's still just entertainment, though. I mean, look. Music is backwards and weird, and people are slapping groupies with sharks and doing weird. Like, it's weird. It's entertainment. Entertainment is weird. And yes, wrestling is a special level of weird.
Yes.
But I don't think it's at a special level where they're like, oh, yeah, nobody has a booking agent in this. I think it's weird in other ways, right?
It is. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm buying into the mythos too much of, like,
if comedians, musicians, anybody who has an act that they take on the road,
okay,
they all have booking agents, and
but
for
here's,
some reason,
here
wrestlers
is,
don't.
Here is the difference. Here is the difference. The only thing that I can think of off the top of my head is that there are concert venues right now that open their doors and say, we are a place that plays music. There are comedy clubs that open their doors every day and say, this is where you come to see stand-up comedians every night of the week or a certain number of nights during the week. There are very few wrestling venues that offer regular wrestling content. These are independent events put on very oftentimes at the same venues that they can rent out, but
sure.
There's no infrastructure necessarily unless you're talking about those larger companies.
But that doesn't necessarily like, I don't see how one begets the other in this particular situation, because whether it's the venue or it's the promotion, there still is like a place that is booked, right? There's still all of those things still happen, right?
Yeah.
Promotion happens, ticket sales happen, all this kind of stuff that happens in whether you have. This venue is always comedy, or sometimes this venue is a basketball arena and sometimes it's a wrestling venue. There's still, like, it's not the venue, it's the promotion. The promotion acts as the venue.
I guess I would just say that the only difference is that, like, you just, like, if you're a booking agent, you have some place to call, right? Like, if you're an agent
for
a comic.
Promotion.
Yeah.
Like, you call if you're Wrestle Circus, you don't call 800 Congress. But you know who to call. Like, it's not like there's not a phone number listed, right?
All right. We're getting to the... Folks, You have just listened to the dawning of the first ever 1-900 wrestling investigation. We are going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this.
I think I got some trees I can shake. We're gonna figure this out by next week. But in the meantime, Dolph Ziggler's back with the WWE, and to be totally honest, this is just my sense of it. I feel like Dolph Ziggler is somebody who has eyes on not being a wrestler his entire life. And very much enjoys the idea that he can launch that next career based on the fact that he's on television every week, whether or not, you know, the Hollywood agent that wants to book him as the wacky neighbor in a new sitcom does not give a shit if he jobbed to Rusev last week, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like he's kind of over getting his WWE, like being a top draw in the WWE world. Like, he's just like, all right, whatever, I get it. Like,
I think he'd like to do it. You know, I do think he would.
If a great storyline comes along and he's getting over with the crowd again, why wouldn't it happen? There's no reason that it just can never happen again. But I think he's just not necessarily, that's what I need, that's what I want. He's kind of like, I think he's resigned to the fact that I'll make a good amount of money, and then when an opportunity arises outside of it, I need to have the freedom to go do it, right? And I think that sounds like the contract that he signed.
There was a free ROH show on Friday. Did you watch it?
Yeah, no, I did not watch it. No, unfortunately, it was. I think I was working that. It was Friday night, I believe.
Friday night, yeah,
yeah. But I did see some of the results. Pretty stacked card here. Unfortunately, Dalton Castle and the boys lost to, I guess they're calling SoCal Uncensored. I don't like the name very much, but
yeah,
I like people. Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. So I got to go watch that match because I'm sure that match had some fun moments. But then also you had Kingdom Bullet Club continuing their rivalry type of thing going on. There's a lot of this has been going on forever. Right at this point,
yes.
Right, this whole Kingdom Bullet Club thing, and then you had the Young Bucks, you had Jay Lethal, you had Silas Young, you had Punishment Martinez, Flip Gordon, you had all the names, right? So, yeah. Pretty big show, and it's cool that it's free because that's been one of my problems with Ring of Honor pay per views is they are still essentially using the model that now with the network I can't wrap my head around anymore, right? Which is pay a whole bunch of money the night of. And maybe not enjoy it.
It just also really seems bad. So weird with the model where it's like, it's hard to get their free TV. And then we're going to charge you. Hopefully you're as juiced up as you can possibly be with this very hard to get free program.
Yeah.
That now we're going to charge you for the big thing. I mean, the shows are always great.
The shows
are always crazy. Fantastic. So, I mean, this, of course, is to bump up their own network offering, though.
I think it's a good thing. You know, it's better. It's a better, if this is what happens, it's better than, let's get them all on Twitch. WWE, let's get you on Twitch too. Let's all start going down that business model, right?
I mean, look.
The distribution is there. All you need to do is sign up.
There was that rumor 1 year ago that WWE was interested in purchasing ROH and that they would fold them into another reason why you should get the WWE network. And I almost wonder, you know, if this is what makes WWE an exceptional company. They are always where the puck is going to be, not where the puck is. And
sure.
You kind of almost wonder, is a $10 a month streaming service from ROH, unless it's exceptional, like, i.e. they have a lot of the features that the WWE network does not in terms of, like, being able to create playlists and being able to follow along with this programming at a certain point in an easier way, whether or not that's where it needs to be. If not, you know, maybe the idea would have been to partner up with WWE and run their stuff through an already popular streaming network or do the TNA model and say, no, you want to know what? We're giving away everything.
Yeah.
On Twitch. We literally just want eyeballs.
You know, if ROH could find a way to just sign like a good TV contract where they're on cable TV every week, that'd be kind of cool too. But the thing is, like, is that model sticking around at all? Right? Like,
well, also it's hard to sign a TV deal when you're owned by a television company who owns you, so they can have you on their programming. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's awkward. But and you know, it might be interesting if they do have their own version of the network. Is that infrastructure something that makes them even more viable as a company to be purchased by WWE at that point? Like, if that's already kind of in place,
I mean, maybe
all they have to do is like fold it together.
I would say at that point you're just saying, okay, well, your WWE network subscription now is also your login for ROH, they're calling it.
But I mean, if that legwork is already done, right? If WWE doesn't have to do that legwork at that point, they really just have to fold it into the same service.
I guess that's the thing, is that WWE has seemed very, very not disinterested in running another promotion. Like, they want you to die so they can have your tape library.
Sure.
Like, that would be all right, how would you like to buy us? Well, first kill yourself and then sell us your memories.
Now, that might be true for Vince McMahon, but I don't know if that's necessarily true for Triple H. I think at this point, Triple H has proven another brand is actually a potential selling point, right? He's taken NXT and turned it into essentially just a third brand, not necessarily a developmental anymore.
Yeah.
So, and it's successful as that. So his philosophy might be different. You know, we're 5 years from now, that might not be the thinking of WWE as a whole. Vince McMahon is very much conquer, then like destroy, and then just be the biggest thing, right?
Well, we've certainly seen that Triple H has a different vision for 205 Live. That is the rumor, that he has taken a more hands-on approach to that program, and you've kind of seen the dividends. I think the last like 3 weeks, there's at least been one match with guys who have probably been wrestling each other for the past year that nobody's noticed on 205 Live, but now the reins are off a little bit, and they're letting these guys have the kinds of matches that got them the reputations on the indies, that got them into the Cruiserweight Classic, that made the Cruiserweight Classic special, and then disappeared when it became just sort of a more quote-unquote character-driven show when it became a main roster.
I don't understand the philosophy behind that in the slightest. Like, I don't understand who in that meeting. I guess it just kind of speaks to nobody really talks back to Vince or something, because like, basically you've taken guys who have something different to offer and then made them offer the same thing that you're offering other places, right?
Yeah.
But just smaller guys doing it. Like, it's like, that. What is the point of that? If you're going to have it be a different show, why not have it be a different show, right? And so this to me is great, because, yeah, if I want to watch 205 Live, I don't want to watch, you know, Raw again, but with smaller people.
Yeah.
I want to watch a different show. And so now I get to watch them actually do the flippy stuff that's basically the reason for, like,
that's the reason why they have a job.
Each other. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, I think what 205 Live is what we're seeing. I mean, and really, this is the emerging pattern of Triple H as a creative mind that we've seen with NXT, is that when they can, they like surprise. And this is to your point about the idea of multiple brands, is now if you own multiple brands, and at this point, if they're going to differentiate 205 Live, then you're saying, okay, well, 205 Live is its own thing. Raw and SmackDown are kind of two sides of the same coin, but theoretically separate brands. And NXT, now you create tremendous opportunity to mix and match all this stuff like they're doing with the Cruiserweight tournament, having Roderick Strong in there and having some of the UK guys in there. Like, this is fun, right? It's like, oh, look, that's unexpected. Now I get to see these guys that aren't normally on television.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's weird too, because this kind of came at exactly the right time, right, where you're losing your biggest personality who doesn't do the 205 Live wrestling style, which is Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
So, kind of serendipitous, I guess, that this is just when Triple H decided to start doing it. You could see that they're trying to make it kind of look more like what the Cruiserweight Classic looked like. And it's actually also happening at the exact time where they needed to fill a vacant title. So let's hold another tournament. And it's like, oh, wow. Like all this stuff is just kind of, it's like you just, oh, the pieces just fit. And it just kind of, the timing was right. And I hope that what ends up happening is that 205 Live ends up becoming, you know, a much more staple show. Because right now it just kind of seems like an afterthought a little bit, right? And you get one match. It's almost like the women's division. You get like the one match, like, or how the women's division used to be. You get like the one match, and it's like, okay, that happened. That was part of the show. Now let's move on. Whereas now you're seeing like that's not the case. Everything kind of matters on the show. And when these matches matter, it's going to be a lot better for Raw too. You know.
Well, I think it's also just, hey, look, they understand what moves the needle online, and what moves the needle online is, oh my God, they gave Lindsay Dorado and Cedric Alexander 20 minutes, and it was awesome, because that's what they would normally do at an indie show that would wow everybody. Is, you know, that's what they would do at PWG.
All right, I have some breaking news in step one of our investigation here.
Okay, go ahead.
I found an online booking agent.
Okay.
And he has a website, spromotions.com. I'm looking at his page of talent here.
Okay.
Some of the names on this page are names that you would
expect.
Yeah, yeah. And also that you would expect would be like the type of guys who might have, you know, an agent.
Larger scale booking talent.
Yeah, you got James Ellsworth. Okay. Leo Kruger. You've got Kip Sopp.
So all ex-WWE guys.
Yeah. You got your ex-Pac, Sean Waltman. You got Ken Anderson.
Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Like, gotcha.
You know, but then you also got, Carlito, you know. Tony Atlas. Wow, okay. Apparently he's still booking that kind of stuff, too. but it looks like what he does is he doesn't only book wrestling for you.
No, he's booking the events. Yeah, he's booking
all that
the
kind of stuff too.
Yeah, he's booking the wrestle cons and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it looks like he's kind of booking all of the things. Like he's just kind of like he's basically just the agent to the person, right? So, So I'm guessing if some of these guys have it, maybe there's other people like this guy. This is the first time I've ever actually searched for one of these guys before. So,
all right. Well, we've already uncovered something in our investigation of the world of how you get booked in indie wrestling.
The ongoing investigation.
Investigation of who gets booked and how in indie wrestling. I'll tell you what. In NXT, we have I'll tell you what. Let me give you the run pass option here. Do you want to talk about Gargano Almas moving into a new climactic phase in NXT, or do you want to talk about the rumors of a new tournament?
The rumors of the new tournament, there's not much to say yet, right? Because all we really know is it's a rumor.
I'd
heard at one point someone say, oh, no, that isn't happening. And then I heard again, oh, no, it is happening.
Well, here's the latest. Number one, we do know for a fact that the WWE is tournament happy for their network. They did the Cruiserweight tournament. That was great. Did the Mae Young Classic. That was great.
The UK tournament.
That was great. So now the rumor is that they want to do a Latin American tournament featuring so much of the talent, obviously, through, you know, Mexico, Central America, South America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, William Regal, who theoretically would be a big part of something like this, since very often it is the NXT operation, the Triple H foot soldiers that put together these events, that he came out and said, hey, look, I don't talk about rumors. I got to talk about this one. There is no Latin American tournament being booked right now. Now, that doesn't really mean much, because ultimately
it just means it's not actively being booked. Like, they're not actively booking the wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that says to me. Because that doesn't necessarily mean they're not talking about it.
But I think that would be awesome. I mean, I think that would be, that could, if you really did that well, right? If you like maybe went to Mexico City or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah, you got to do it. Like, yeah, for sure.
Like, that could be lit. That would be an awesome, like, do it like the UK one and like do it over two
days. That's what they did with the UK one, right? Yeah, they were like in the UK and you got to see not only the wrestling, but the fans, right?
But you got that fans, yeah.
Wrestling there, so.
Oh, dude, just have it be like, I loved watching Triple Mania this year on Twitch. And by the way, I think AAA now running on Twitch 24/7. But just a bunch of barrel chested mustache dudes with like the most gaudy affliction shirts. Just, you know, chilling, cheering and screaming, spilling cerveza on themselves. That's always sure. The best.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool storylines and things that can surface out of there too. You've got a lot of living legends who are still doing crazy things. You got a lot of up and comers. You got now you can have, you know, Cien Almas be like, he came from there, right? You could start talking about Los Ingobernables, like you could do all that kind of stuff. Like, there's tons and tons of things that you could introduce to your audience that would just be really cool.
Now, you'd kind of wonder whether or not they would want to partner with anybody for that. And that might be the reason why they're being coy about this.
Where they're being a little, like being a little careful about what they actually put out there. Sure. I mean, it makes sense, right? So they partnered with, who was it? Is it Progress? What's the company?
Well, they partnered with Progress. What was the other one? There's like three of them out there that they wound up partnering with for the UK tournament. Question is, in Mexico, you know, CMLL does their stuff with New Japan. AAA, you know, does their own thing on television with Lucha Underground. And there are a couple other indies out there that work with a lot of the same talent, but you kind of wonder whether or not, you know, what would you consider to be successful, you know, what are the names that you would feel like it was bullshit if they were not in a Latin American tournament that aimed to kind of crown?
Yeah, I guess the infrastructure is a little bit maybe looser. I don't know, but they have a little more history though, don't they? I mean.
Oh, certainly. I mean, look.
Lucha wrestling has been going on forever, so.
And it's. I mean, I remember my buddy Gabe was sending me a picture of, or maybe it was through Ashley. They sent me a picture of the back of, like, the one of the tabloids. They do, like the New York Post or the Daily News, where, like, the front side is the news and the back side is sports, right? And Triple Mania last year, which had the mask match between Dr. Wagner and Psycho Clown was the same night as Mayweather McGregor. And Mexico loves boxing, and they love to hate Floyd Mayweather, who has trolled Mexicans as a profession for a solid decade and a half. And on that back cover, it was a massive Dr. Wagner Psycho Clown and a little itty bitty bitty like Mayweather McGregor thing. Like, it is a national sport. Lucha is massive culturally in Mexico. And I think they could do an amazing tournament. The question is exactly how many people you get. And as Tizzle Smash in our chat room mentions, could we see the return of El Generico?
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. I mean, the problem is you're reviving someone from the dead, right? So, good luck.
Well, we've only heard rumors that he's dead.
Sure.
We've only heard rumors. He went down to the orphanage down there in Mexico to tend to the kids, but you never know. All right.
He's laying in a ditch.
Well, let's we don't know he's laying in a ditch. We've heard rumors he's laying in a ditch. Someone call El Generico's booking agent and find out what's happened to him.
All right. I've got another here's another potential lead here. Apparently in pro wrestling there's also a super agent. A la Scott Boras.
Okay.
Baseball. Yeah. The name Bill Behrens. Bill Behrens. Bill Behrens does not ring a bell to me, but he apparently represented AJ Styles in the past and has Hall of Fame announcer Jim Ross on speed dial.
Wait, where are you finding this?
Just the internet, man.
Bill Behren?
Bill Behrens.
B-A-R-R-E-N-S?
B-E-H-R-E-N-S. Bill Behrens.
Bill Behrens. Okay. Well, there we go. at least, look, we are delving into a world that no other wrestling podcast is going to bring you to.
He represents SBI bookings.
Well, here's something that is for sure going to happen. Gargano versus Almas 3, I guess, because they had that match before Almas was the champion, is going to take place. It's going to be at the NXT TakeOver at WrestleMania, and I think this was kind of a surprise. Well, I don't know. Is it at the TakeOver? That is something I don't know for sure. I think it is. But this is going to be Gargano versus Almas 3, but it's going to be career versus title. And I think this was kind of a surprise because we assumed that there are so many people on that mid-card for NXT, most notably Adam Cole and Aleister Black, that seem ready for a title shot. And Gargano has that built-in feud ready to roll with Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
They have yet to really go face-to-face. You figured that at NXT TakeOver, those were the matches that you would immediately see, but yet it seems like we're going to get a return to Five Star City with Gargano and Almas.
Now, I kind of feel like there's a possibility here that because of the Five Star and the hype around that match, they just were like, let's squeeze one more here out of it. Like maybe that did kind of influence that decision, right? Because you're right. There's plenty of people ready to step in there and have their shot, right? But there's a lot that can be set up from this match. So I think it's pretty interesting. If it's Gargano who loses and is forced out, you got to think Ciampa has something to do with that, right? And then you can figure out a way to build that into the feud that not only is Ciampa beating the hell out of him all the time, but now he's like literally got him to lose his job, right?
Yeah.
So there's lots and lots of built-in heat there. If you have Gargano have the title, suddenly Ciampa has the title and the hatred, right, fueling him. So that feud can even center around a belt, right, which is makes things a lot more interesting. So no matter how this goes, like, I feel like it adds something to an already pretty hot feud. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, well, yeah. So that would be the Kevin Owens model, right, is that you let the guy win the title, and now you viciously attack him to the point where there's no question that you have the next shot.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't, either way, now the interesting thing is, I guess the problem here is that in his title run, Almas has basically only had this one feud.
Yeah.
And now this match doesn't seem to necessarily be about him anymore at all, which, you know, that's fine. Whatever. He's like kind of there to help fuel this other feud at the moment.
Well, but here's the question. Usually loser leaves town matches, no matter which way they go, kind of mean that it's time to leave. And also the NXT tradition has been, once you are the champion and you lose the championship, you just kind of Bobby Roode roll your ass on out of the ring and show up on one of the big shows the next week. This is WrestleMania weekend. Who is more likely to end up on either Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania? You would think it's Almas, right?
Yeah, it's Almas, because if it's Gargano, then Ciampa has to go with him, right? So, because they're definitely not just going to leave that laying on the floor. And just,
I mean,
they
don't seem like they will. They just did the, like, please pay attention to this feud again thing at the end of that match.
Sure. But, okay. To the layman, yes, they did. But to every single other person, like every single super fan, everybody was expecting Ciampa that entire time after that match was over. Right? Like if you read the Reddit comments as they were happening live, everyone was like, I hope that bald mother doesn't come out here, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was basically all anyone was talking about. Then, title logo or whatever at the end. I guess it's not happening. Oh, they got me again. You know, so
yeah,
it's still at the forefront of everyone's mind. This is too hot of a situation to. This is not. I would not put a lot of things past WWE, but this I would not expect them to do.
Yeah.
I really think if someone moves on, it's almost right. He's also been there longer. He's totally ready. His character arc is kind of done in NXT, right? So, like, he's kind of gone through this entire 2-year storyline that has now kind of come to a close in a lot of ways. So, unless he just has an amazing title run, which NXT champions don't tend to have anymore, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, it feels to me like...
I mean, and they gave him that big feature spot during the Royal Rumble.
Exactly. No, they wanted to introduce him to the main roster crowd, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Willie. That delicate harp means that we are ready to class up the wrestling podcast world yet again. We bring you into the mind of the master. Willie, what is our philosophical question for the week?
This week I want to talk a little bit about... I love face-heel dynamics. We touched on it last week. But I want to talk about not... Are you essentially, are you somebody who looks for the bad in life or the good? But if you are living as a face or a heel already, and that is who you are, that is your persona, what is easier? Is it easier to be the bad guy? Or is it easier to be a good human? Right?
So again, we are
about life, helping others, being nice. Just being genuinely positive, or is it easier to just go through life being an asshole? I have a theory on this. I'd love to hear what your theory is.
So again, we are, for those of you who have just listened to us for the first time, we are talking about real life. We're not talking about wrestling, right?
I mean, we could also ask the same question in wrestling. Is it easier to be a heel in wrestling, or is it easier to be a face? Actually, these days, it seems to be easier to be a heel. For a lot of people, because you just get to go out there and do whatever the hell you want. Right?
But I think this is a deeply personal question. I think that we have natural instincts that are shaped by both who we are and our upbringing that defines a lot of this. I know for me, I have urges, Willie. I have urges in my life that I need to suppress. Because I think I am naturally an asshole. Like, I just, when I see things, I think of the worst possible things to say to people. When I'm in situations, I think of ways that I can sabotage it. Like, I see a beautiful ice sculpture that somebody spent an entire day working on, and my first thought is, I should kick it over right now. Like, that's right. That's who I am as a person. And my personality has been shaped by the fact that I can't be that person. If I were that person, I would live a worse life. And so I need to take steps to push that down and think of how can I best complement that ice sculpture. And keep this side of myself a secret. I am revealing for the first time ever. These thoughts to any podcast that I have done is because of the philosophical question on the 1-900 Wrestling Show.
Wow, we're finding things out here today.
We are.
So all right, in that scenario you described, a couple things come to mind. One, it sounds like you at least believe it is going to be easier on you to be a face.
Yes.
But does that technically mean that it actually is, because now you are suppressing something? So you are having to consciously think about decisions and actions throughout the day, thus not necessarily living naturally, having to kind of process decisions and circumstances as they come along throughout the day. So is that harder to actually be doing all the time, to be mindful of oneself rather than just live in the moment? Right?
Well, I mean, but what is my true self? Like, is my most impulsive self my true self? Because if it is, then yes, I am suppressing my true self by not giving in to my baser impulses. Or is the reality of civilization the collective pushing down of our animal instincts and creating a better world?
Your true self, you plus, is it the nature plus the nurture, right? Yeah.
Well, or just the idea that I'm not going to do the thing that comes to mind first. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the logical thing.
I would argue that that is your true self, because your true self isn't always just, it's not the simplest of everything. It's you, like, you are not only a person who has an impulse to do something, but you are also a person who considers the consequence of the thing.
Yes.
Makes the decision based on that. That is actually your true self. Not like, you know,
I would assume so. Yes.
Yeah. Like a serial killer who feels bad about it. Their true self is a serial killer who feels bad about it, not just the serial killer part, right? Like, it's like it's the whole, not a bunch of random parts.
I mean, look, as Bugsy Malone taught us, you're going to be remembered for the things that you say and do. So I hope to give a little love and have it all come back to me.
Think about like my dog, right? Yes. My dog does not consider that I'm going to yell at him when he grabs food off the table, right?
Yes. Impulsive.
And food off the table. Like, yeah. He knows that I'll yell at him probably by now. He probably understands that. It's not a thought that prevents him from doing anything, right? Like, think about like a child, right? Before you've been kind of taught that doing things that are bad are going to get you in trouble, you just kind of do the bad thing because it's something that kind of crossed your mind, right, at the time. Like, yeah, I want to do that thing. And then you just do it. But what happens is over time, we kind of learn. And that becomes part of us, right? The knowledge that we've gained. The knowledge we've gained is, if I push over this ice sculpture, people are not going to like me anymore.
Yeah.
And that could be a problem for me. I'm going to argue real quick, though, that I think that there are certain situations where being a heel is easier. I think if you are in a power position in your place of work, it can be harder to be a face, because if you are like always the good guy, then you tend to put yourself into bad situations, right?
Can I tell you a controversial place where
sure.
it's better. Not only is it better, it's healthier to be the heel.
Sure. Yeah. Like, if you want everyone to be your friend, they're not gonna necessarily worry about being a little bit late.
Well,
right?
let me give you this one. The end of a relationship. The end of a relationship, I would make the argument that even if you care and love about this person, like, if it's the end, somebody's got to be the heel.
Someone needs to be a jerk and just say,
someone needs to just burn those tendons. So new tendons can grow. But if it is not strong, somebody's got to cut them. Someone's got to throw the other one through the barbershop window.
That's true. So they can move on. And the fact is, look, in every relationship, someone moves on and becomes the Jannetty. That's just science, right?
Well, look, hey, and who's to say that the reunion can't be important, right? If you, Seth Rollins, your significant other, you know, that eventually that reunion's going to be all the more impactful if it is meant to be.
Yeah, eventually you might come back to tag team again. Hey, even a triple threat could happen.
I mean, who knows?
You never know.
Right? Maybe you'll open your mind to new things that you would have never considered before because you burnt that up. That was a lesson I learned very, very early in high school. And somebody that I knew, there was like a buddy of mine, two friends that were dating, and they had like a really hard breakup. And I forget how the word came back, but like the chick said, you want to know what? Sometimes in a relationship, you just, at the end, you have to be a bitch just to be done with it. And it's like, you know, at the time I was like, you know, like bros before hoes and like, oh, whatever. And then you think about it, it's like, there's some profound truth to that, because ultimately, sometimes it is the lingering that is the most damaging.
Yeah. You can't just sit there and hug forever. You know, you gotta hang that phone up.
Sometimes it's got to.
Yeah, and maybe you got to be a little bit mean so that they don't keep calling you every day.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And this is what's interesting, is that I think in life, there's situations where you yourself could totally be a face, or you might be the worst person ever. But you got to play a heel. You got to play a face. You got to do the right thing at the right time, right? So,
listen, you have to do what's best for business.
What's best for business? Exactly. That's the thing. We get, as much as you might hate the heel, I think we should do this. Okay, this would be a pretty good segment, I think, going, like, at some point. We should delve into this. Let's do, like, character studies on heels.
Okay.
And faces. And, like, really find, like, the motivations for things. Like, like, pros and cons, arguments for and against. You know, prosecution, defense. Like, let's, like, see if we can, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, yeah, he did that. But here's why, you know, like.
And, well, I mean, look, I think the best heels, the best heels in the business ever are always understandable. It's greed, loss. I mean, like, it's the seven deadly sins, right? Like, you know, that's the motivation for the worst elements of wrestling. And that's why wrestling is the greatest art form ever, because you get this elemental, I mean, like, you get these 10 commandment basic elemental stories, right? It's just so great.
Well, we don't, you know, it's funny. We have that a lot more now, I think, than what we had when I was growing up. Because when I was growing up, heels were just heels because they were heels. Right?
No, there's, but look at the Million Dollar Man, right? Like, how is he corrupting people? That is an elemental thing. Why did the superpowers explode? Because of jealousy, right? Like, these are all things that you know in your bones are like, God, you know what? Macho Man is an asshole for splitting up with Hulk Hogan, because Hulk Hogan didn't really want Miss Elizabeth, but. Man, if that were my girl and that were my friend, I might be a little pissed off.
Sure. Sure. But there was also, I mean, there was also a lot of cartoonish stuff too, right? Like, there were a lot of things where,
oh yeah,
you know, it was like, I don't really know why he's doing what he's doing right now, but okay. Like,
oh, sure.
But there, I think at the time though, too, it was, at least for me, it didn't really matter, right? Like, I was being shown, oh, Middle Eastern guy. Probably bad guy, right?
Yes.
I'm like, why is he bad? Middle Eastern, dude. Jeez, come on. Yeah. Why do you have to ask the question, right? He hates America. Why? Because he hates America.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. But as you grow up, you need a little more out of your heels, I think, right? So it's kind of, it almost feels to me, and maybe this is just me applying my own perception to the world, but it feels to me like wrestling grew up a little bit with me as I grew up, right? And we're getting like a lot more of these shades of gray heels these days, which is super fun to watch. Like a guy like Sami Zayn, right? Like,
yeah,
his heel character now, it's like, yeah, no, this all makes sense. He's pissed, he's not getting a shot, he's watching the guy do everything wrong and get all the shots in the world and
yeah,
titles and all this. This totally makes sense that he would just be like, you know what? Screw it, right? And then that's why that character is actually pretty rich.
I was actually listening to a clip of him on the Edge and Christian show, and he was like, you know, it was you know, the way that I can best describe it with my heel character is that it's like, to go back to like a significant other, it's like all the things that you used to find cute, now you just can't stand. Like, you're just like, just can't, like, oh God, he used to be cute that he came out and danced, and now he's just the most annoying person on the planet. And that is a tribute to him as a performer and a character. All right, let's get into our most popular segment of the podcast. We have our Melodica Challenge. We give you a Melodica version of a wrestling theme. We ask you to guess it. Here was a portion of last week's.
Let's play half of it at most.
And that's all we're going to do. This was, of course, the version of The Best of You by the Foo Fighters, modified to be Scorpio Sky's theme song, which is just a repeating refrain of the best, the best, the best, the best, the best.
Because I was listening to it, I was trying to think of, you know, WWE wrestlers. I'm thinking, like, who has this rhythm going on, and I'm trying to think what it is. And then as we're talking about it, I'm like, why did he play the same thing for that amount of time? And that was really the clue that got me there, was Yeah, he's trying to show me the repetition of it, right? Which is, it comes from the YouTube video where I think it goes on for 10 hours.
Yes, right? Yeah. And this is this week's Melodica Challenge. Did we mention that they're shitty melodica covers? I think that's an important thing to explain. One more time. All right, if you want to go ahead and take a guess, do it by tweeting us at Justin R. Young, at Willie Dills on Twitter, and we will give you guys the answer next week. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think chat room just got it, too.
I think it might be. It might be what's in the chat. We'll find out next week, though.
Like, I was stuck on the zipper thing for a while, and then I started the second time I listened to the actual song. And,
I know.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting a Val Venus saying, "Hello, ladies."
But I was like, I don't think there's any actual song with a zipper in it, but maybe the zip, like, you know, similar to the Stone Cold, where instead of a
glass breaking, it was, yeah, change hitting.
Dropping.
Yeah.
What could it represent, right?
Yeah. Well, tell
now
you
I
what,
see.
We
now
will, see. We will find out next week. Willie, what you got going on this week?
So I will be working tonight, so I will be starting the scheduled stream activities tomorrow, but basically lots and lots of, Wild and Standard on twitch.tv/WillieDills. So come check out the Hearthstone action there. And other than that, just check out Angry Chicken. If you like the Hearthstone, it's a good podcast for it. Working on some back end work for another project at some point, which I will actually announce when it happens.
Ooh. Hey, give me
trying to find the time in between taking this friggin' sick dog out. Better now. He's jumping around again. To actually get some audio stuff done and other things. So hopefully that should be sooner rather than later.
Give me a deck for the new meta.
Deck for the new meta? Divine Spirit Inner Fire Priest with dragons.
Divine Spirit Inner Fire Priest. Is that the new hotness?
You play dragons. Eventually, one of them doesn't die. You double Divine Spirit it, Inner Fire, and hit somebody for like 30.
I think I've definitely gotten wrecked by that at least 7 times. So
there you have. If you can't beat them, it's a really good deck right now. It's really popular. So
all right, and you can find me at twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Hopefully, some really fun stuff with this podcast coming up in the future, including the we are going to get to the bottom of booking agents in indie wrestling, on whether or not there are booking agents in indie wrestling. I'm going to shake some trees.
We've now gotten to the bottom whether there are. I think the question is whether they are
prevalent,
more prevalent than just guys booking them.
Here's really what I want to know: do the Young Bucks have a booking agent, and does Joey Ryan have a booking agent? Like that's really just what I mean. If you're looking at the hottest indie acts, right? I just want to know if the hottest indie acts going today have booking agents. That's really, I think, what we're looking to prove, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually an interesting question, too, though, is because are they hot because they don't have them and they're just good at doing what they do? And would a booking agent be a detriment to those people in particular, right? Like, because there are some people who might not be good at it, and they could never get off the ground without one, right? Like, they're just not good at making the phone calls and following up and all the things and keeping the calendar straight and all that. But, I would love to know more about all this, because it is true, as Trey was pointing out earlier, wrestling is pretty thin when you factor in the booking
the
hotel and the whatnot.
I've gotten like intel on what some of even the top promotions, the top ends pay top talent.
Sure.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
So that's what I always kind of wondered about, like comedians going on the road and things like that. It's like, first you travel somewhere Then you stay in a hotel while you're there. It's like, how much did you make per night? Did that actually added up to more than it costs just to do that stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
Because at the end of the day, like you gotta leave with something in the positive, right? Or else it doesn't make sense.
Or else, what the hot hell are you doing, son?
Yeah, and the thing is too, like wrestlers can't necessarily sell 1 hour special and take a loss on the road bookings.
Yeah.
Because that is what they're selling, right? Is the road booking. Like, yeah, they don't then put together an hour of their best stuff and then throw it on a DVD for HBO. So, yeah, it's an interesting world, and I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, but we'll look into it.
We're going to find out. That's why you're coming back next week, also to find out what that melodica was doing. All right, that's about it for us.
I want you to call me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please tune in to 1-900-WRESTLING next week. Go ahead, rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you enjoy us on, but mostly iTunes. And for Willie Dills, I'm Justin Robert Young. Be dialing!
What the Rock is cooking. And his name is John Cena. Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.